Dr. Newton, are you satisfied with this procedure?
S. Pause. Yes.
Dr. Newton, all right, please continue with your passage from the moment you see some of your family in the distance. What happens next?
S. Well, I'm still slowing down, moving gradually, I'm being taken along a course I have been on before. I'm passing some other bunches of people, group clusters. Then, I stop. Note, the final transit inward is especially important for the younger souls. One client, upon awakening, described this scene as giving him the sense he was arriving back home at twilight after a long trip away. Having passed from the countryside into his town, he finally reached the proper street. The front windows of his neighbor's houses were lit, and he could see people inside as he drove slowly past before reaching the driveway of his own home. Although people in trance may use such words as clumps and hives to describe how their home spaces look from a distance, this view becomes more individualistic once they go into each cluster. Then the subject's spiritual surroundings are associated with towns, schools, and other living areas identified with earthly landmarks of security and pleasure. Dr. Newton, now that you are stationary, what are your impressions? S. It's large activity, there are a lot of people in the vicinity. Some are familiar to me, others are not.
Dr. Newton, can we get a little closer to all of them?
S.
Abruptly my subject raises her voice with indignation, you don't understand. I don't go over there. Points a finger toward my office wall. Dr. Newton, what's the problem?
S.
I'm not supposed to. You can't just go off anywhere. Dr. Newton, but, you have reached your destination?
S.
It doesn't matter. I don't go over there. Again points a finger at her mental picture. Dr. Newton, does this tie in with the messages you received about your father?
S.
Yes, it does. Dr. Newton, are you saying to me your soul energy cannot arbitrarily float anywhere, such as outside your group?
S.
Pointing outward, they are not in my group over there. Dr. Newton, define what you mean by over there?
S.
In a grave tone of voice, those others nearby, that is their place. Points down to the floor, this is our place. We are here. Nods head to confirm her statement. Dr. Newton, who are they?
S. Well, the others,
of course, people not in my group. In a burst of nervous laughter, oh, look, my own people, it's wonderful to see them again. They are coming toward me. Dr. Newton, I act as though I am hearing this information for the first time, to encourage spontaneous answers. Really? This does sound wonderful. Are these the same people who were involved with your past life?
S.
More than one life, I can tell you. With pride, these are my people. Dr. Newton, these people are entities who are members of your own group?
S.
Of course, yes, I have been with them for so long. Oh, it's fun seeing them all again. Subject is overjoyed and I give her a few moments with this picture. Dr. Newton, I see quite a change in your understanding in just the short time since we arrived here. Look off in the distance at the others around this space. What is it like where they live?
S.
Agitated, I don't want to know. That is their business. Can't you see? I'm not attached to them. I'm too busy with the people I am supposed to be with here. People I know and love. Dr. Newton, I do see, but a few minutes ago you were quite distressed at not being able to get close to your father.
S.
I know now he has his own gathering place with people. Dr. Newton, why didn't you know that when we arrived here?
S.
I'm not sure. I admit it was a shock at first. Now I know the way things are. It's all coming back to me. Dr. Newton, why wasn't your guide around to explain all this to you before you saw your father?
S.
Long pause, I don't know. Dr. Newton, probably other people you have known and loved besides your father are also in these groups. Are you saying you have no contact with them now that you are in your proper place in the spirit world?
S.
Upset with me, no, I have contact with my mind. Why are you being so difficult?
I am supposed to stay here. Dr. Newton, I prod the subject once more to gain additional information, and you don't just drift over to those other groups for visits. S. No. You don't do that. You don't go into their groups and interfere with their energy. Dr. Newton, but mental contact offers no interference with their energy. S. At the right time. When they are free to do this with me, Dr. Newton, so, what you are telling me is that everyone here is located in their own group spaces and you don't go wandering around visiting or making too much mental contact at the wrong times. S. Calming down. Yes, they are in their own spaces with instruction going on. It's the directors who move around mostly, Dr. Newton, thank you for clearing all this up for me. You want me to know that you and your group friends are especially careful about infringing upon others' spaces? S. That's right. At least that's the way things are around my space. Dr. Newton, and you don't feel confined by this custom? S. Oh no. There are great expanses of space and such a sense of freedom here, as long as we pay attention to the rules. Dr. Newton, and what if you don't? Who decides what is the proper location for each group of souls? S. Pause. The teachers help us, otherwise we would be lost. Dr. Newton, it seems to me you were lost when we first arrived here. S. With uncertainty, I didn't connect, I wasn't mentally in tune, I messed up, I don't think you realize how big it is around here. Dr. Newton, look around you at all the occupied spaces. Isn't the spirit world crowded with souls? S. Laughs. Sometimes we do get lost, that's our own fault, this place is big. That's why it never gets crowded. The two cases in this chapter represent different reactions from a beginner and a more advanced soul recalling the final phase of their return passages back to the spirit world. Every participant has their own interpretation of the panoramic view from the staging area to the terminus in their cluster group. Some of my subjects find the transition from the gateway to group placement to be so rapid that they need time to adjust upon arrival. When recalling their memories between homecoming and placement, my subjects sometimes express concern that an important individual was not present in light form or did not communicate with them telepathically. Often this is a parent or spouse in the life just completed. By the end of the transition stage, the reason usually becomes evident. Frequently it has to do with embodiment. We have seen how the average returning soul is overwhelmed by pleasure. Familiar beings are clustered together in undulating masses of bright light. On occasion, resonating musical sounds with specific chords guide the incoming traveler. One subject remarked, "As I come near my place, there is a monotone of many voices sounding the letter A, like R, for my recognition, and I can see them all vibrating fast as warm, bright energy, and I know these are the disembodied ones right now." What this means is that those souls who are currently incarnated in one or more bodies at the moment may not be actively engaged with welcoming anybody back. Another subject explained, "It is as if they are sleeping on autopilot, we always know who is out and who is in." Those souls who are not totally disconnected radiate dim light with low pulsating energy patterns and don't seem to communicate much with anyone. Even so, these souls are able to greet the returning soul in a quiet fashion within the group setting. The sense of a barrier between various groups, as experienced by Case 15, has different versions among my subjects, depending upon the age of the soul. I will have another perspective about mobility in the next case. The average soul with a great deal of basic work to do describes the separation of their group from others as similar to being in different classrooms in the same schoolhouse. I have also had clients who felt they were entirely separated in their own schoolhouse. The analogy of spiritual schools directed by teacher guides is used so often by people under hypnosis that it has become a habit for me to use the same terminology. As I mentioned earlier, after souls arrive back into their soul groups, they are summoned to appear before a council of elders. While the council is not prosecutorial, they do engage in direct examination of a soul's activities before returning them to their groups. It is not unusual for my subjects to have some difficulty providing me with full details of what transpires at these hearings, and I am sure these blocks are intentional. Here is a report from one case. After I meet with my friends, my guide Veronica, subject's younger teacher, takes me to another place to meet with my panel of elders. She is at my side as an interpreter for what I don't understand and to provide support for explanations of my conduct in the last life. At times, she speaks on my behalf as a kind of defense advocate, but Quasel, subject's senior guide who arrived before Veronica, carries the most weight with the panel. There are always the same six elders in front of me who wear long white robes. Their faces are kindly, and they evaluate my perceptions of the life I have just lived and how I could have done better with my talents and what I did that was beneficial. I am freely allowed to express my frustrations and desires. All the elders are familiar to me, especially two of them who address me more than the others and who look younger than the rest. I think I can distinguish appearances which are male or female. Each has a special aspect in the way they question me, but they are honest and truthful, and I am always treated fairly. I can hide nothing from them, but sometimes I get lost when their thoughts are transmitted back and forth in the rapid communication between them. When it is more than I can handle, Veronica translates what they are saying about me, although I have the feeling she does not tell me everything. Before I return to Earth, they will want to see me a second time. Souls consider themselves having finally arrived home when they rejoin familiar classmates in group settings. Their attendance here with certain other souls does resemble an educational placement system in form and function. The criteria for group admission is based upon knowledge and a given developmental level. As in any classroom situation, some students connect well with teachers and others less so. The next chapter will examine the sorting out process for soul groups and how souls view themselves in their respective spiritual locations. 7 placement. My impression of the people who believe we do have a soul is that they imagine all souls are probably mixed into one great congregation of space. Many of my subjects believe this too, before their sessions begin. After awakening, it is no wonder they express surprise with the knowledge that everyone has a designated place in the spirit world. When I began to study life in the spirit world with people under hypnosis, I was unprepared to hear about the existence of organized soul support groups. I had pictured spirits just floating around aimlessly by themselves after leaving Earth. Group placement is determined by soul level. After physical death, a soul's journey back home ends with debarkation into the space reserved for their own colony, as long as they are not a very young soul or isolated for other reasons as mentioned in Chapter 4. The souls represented in these cluster groups are intimate old friends who have about the same awareness level. When people in trance speak of being part of a soul cluster group, they are talking about a small primary unit of entities who have direct and frequent contact, such as we would see in a human family. Peer members have a sensitivity to each other which is far beyond our conception on Earth. Secondary groups of souls are arranged in the form of a community support group which is much less intimate with one another. Larger secondary groups of entities are made up of giant sets of primary clusters as lily pads in one pond. Spiritual bonds appear to be endless. Within these bonds, I have never heard of a secondary group estimated at less than 1,000 souls. The many primary group clusters which make up one secondary group seem to have sporadic relationships, or no contact at all between clusters. It is rare for me to find souls involved with each other in any meaningful way who are members of two different secondary groups, because the number of souls is so great it is not necessary. The smaller group primary clusters vary in number, containing anywhere from 3 to 25 souls. I am told the average assemblage is around 15, which is called the inner circle. Any working contact between members of different cluster groups is governed by the lessons to be learned during an incarnation. This may be due to a past life connection, or the particular identity trait of the souls involved. Soul acquaintanceships between members of different cluster groups usually involve peripheral roles in life on Earth. An example would be a high school classmate who was once a close friend, but who you now see only at class reunions. Members of the same cluster group are closely united for all eternity. These tightly knit clusters are often composed of like-minded souls with common objectives which they continually work out with each other. Usually they choose lives together as relatives and close friends during their incarnations on Earth. It is much more common for me to find a subject's brother or sister from former lives in the same cluster group rather than souls who have been their parents. Parents can meet us at the gateway to the spirit world after a death on Earth, but we may not see much of their souls in the spirit world. This circumstance exists not for reasons of maturity, since a parent soul could be less developed than their human offspring. Rather, it is more a question of social learning between siblings who are contemporary in one time frame. Although parents are a child's primary identification figures for both good and bad karmic effects, it is frequently our relations with spouses, brothers, sisters, and selected close friends over a whole lifetime that most influences personal growth. This takes nothing away from the importance of parents, aunts, uncles, and grandparents who serve us in different ways from another generation. Figures 1 and 2, pages 89-90, represent a random spiritual setting of souls. In figure 1, a soul in primary group 1, located within the larger secondary group A, would work closely with all other souls in group 1. However, some souls in primary groups 9 and 10, detailed in figure 2, could also work together. The younger souls within secondary groups A, B, and C would probably have little or no contact with each other in the spirit world or on Earth. Close association between souls depends on their assigned proximity to one another in cluster groups, where there is a similarity 0F knowledge and affinity brought about by shared earthly experiences. The next case offers us an account of what it is like coming back to one's cluster group after physical death. Case 16. Dr. Newton, once you leave the staging area and have arrived in the spiritual space where you belong, what do you do then?
S. I go to school with my friends.
Dr. Newton, you mean you are in some kind of spiritual classroom?
S.
Yes, where we study. Dr. Newton, I want you to take me through this school from the time of your arrival so I can appreciate what is happening to you. Start by telling me what you see from the outside.
S. With no hesitation, I see a perfectly square Greek temple with large sculptured columns, very beautiful. I recognize it because this is where I return after each cycle, life.
Dr. Newton, what is a classical Greek temple doing in the spirit world?
S. Shrugs, I don't know why it appears to me that way, except it seems natural, since my life's in Greece.
Dr. Newton, all right, let's continue. Does anyone come to meet you?
S. Subject smiles broadly, my teacher Carla.
Dr. Newton, and how does she appear to you?
S.
Confidently, I see her coming out of the entrance of the temple towards me, as a goddess, tall, wearing long flowing robes, one shoulder is bare, her hair is piled up and fastened with a gold clasp, she reaches out to me.
Dr. Newton, look down at yourself. Are you dressed in the same garments?
S. We all seem to be dressed the same, we shimmer with light, and we can change, Carla knows I like the way she looks.
Dr. Newton, where are the others?
S. Carla has taken me inside my temple school. I see a large library. Small gatherings of people are speaking in quiet tones, at tables. It is sedate, warm, a secure feeling which is so familiar to me.
Dr. Newton, do all these people appear as adult men and women?
S. Yes, but there are more women in my group.
Dr. Newton, why?
S. Because that's the valence they are most comfortable with right now. Note, the word valence used by this subject to indicate gender preference is an odd choice, yet it does fit.
Valences in chemistry are positive or negative properties which, when combined with other elements, give proportion. Souls in groups may be inclined toward male and female personages or mixed.
Dr. Newton, okay, what do you do next?
S. Carla leads me to the nearest table and my friends immediately greet me.
Oh, it's so good to be back.
Dr. Newton, why are these particular people here with you in this temple?
S. Because we are all in the same study group. I can't tell you how happy I am to be with them once more.
Subject becomes distracted with this scene and it takes me a minute to get her started again.
Dr. Newton, tell me how many people are in this library with you?
S. Pauses while mentally counting, about 20.
S. We are all close, I've known them for ages. But 5 are my dearest friends.
Dr. Newton, are every one of the 20 people at about the same level of learning?
S. Almost. Some are a little further along than the rest.
Dr. Newton, where would you place yourself in the group as far as knowledge?
S. Around the middle.
Dr. Newton, as to learning lessons, where are you in relation to your 5 closest friends?
S. Oh, we are about the same, we work together a lot.
Dr. Newton, what do you call them?
S. Chuckles, we have pet names for each other.
Dr. Newton, why do you have nicknames?
S. To define our essence.
We see each other as representing earth things.
S. Thistle.
Dr. Newton, are all 20 very close friends of yours?
Dr. Newton, what is your pet name?
Dr. Newton, and this represents some personal attribute.
S. Pause. I am known for sharp reactions to new situations in my rotations, life cycles.
Dr. Newton, what is the entity you feel closest to called, and why?
S. Soft laughter, spray. He goes flat out in his rotations, dispensing his energy so rapidly it splashes in all directions, just like the water he loves so much on Earth.
Dr. Newton, your family group sounds very distinctive. Now would you explain to me what you and your friends actually do in this library setting?
S.
I go to my table and we all look at the books.
Dr. Newton, books.
What sort of books?
S.
The life books.
Dr. Newton, describe them as best you can for me.
S. They are picture books. Thick white edges, 2 or 3 inches thick, quite large.
Dr. Newton, open one of the life books for me and explain what you and your friends at the table see.
S. Pause, while the subject's hands come together and move apart as though she were opening a book. There is no writing. Everything we see is in live pictures.
S.
Yes, they are multi-dimensional. They move, shift, from a center of crystal, which changes with reflected light.
Dr. Newton, action pictures, different than photographs.
Dr. Newton, so, the pictures are not flat. The moving light waves have depth.
S.
That's right, they are alive.
Dr. Newton, tell me how you and your friends use the books.
S. Well, at first it's always out of focus when the book is opened. Then we think of what we want, the crystal turns from dark to light and gets into alignment. Then we can see, in miniature, our past lives and the alternatives.
Dr. Newton, how is time treated in these books?
S. By frames, pages, time is condensed by the life books.
Dr. Newton, I don't want to dwell on your past right now. But take a look at the book and just tell me the first thing you see.
S. A lack of self-discipline in my last life because this is what is on my mind. I see myself dying young, in a lover's quarrel, my inning was useless.
Dr. Newton, do you see future lives in the life book?
S. We can look at future possibilities, in small bites only, in the form of lessons, mostly these options come later with the help of others. These books are intended to emphasize our past acts.
Dr. Newton, would you give me your impression of the intent behind this library atmosphere with your cluster group?
S. Oh, we all help one another go over our mistakes during this cycle.
Our teacher is in and out, and so we do a lot of studying together and discuss the value of our choices. Dr. Newton, are there other rooms where people study in this building?
S. No, this is for our group. There are different buildings where various groups study near us.
Note, the reader may refer to Figure 1, page 89, Circle B, as an example of what is meant here. In the graph, clusters 3, 7 represent infrequent group interaction, although they are in close proximity to each other in the spirit world.
Dr. Newton, are the groups of people who study in these buildings more or less advanced than those in your group?
S. Both. Dr. Newton, are you allowed to visit these other buildings where souls study?
S. Long pause. There is one which we go to regularly.
Dr. Newton, which one?
S. A place for the newer ones. We help them when their teacher is gone.
It's nice to be needed.
Dr. Newton, help them how?
S. Laughs, with their homework.
Dr. Newton, but don't the teacher, guides have that responsibility?
S. Well, you see the teachers are, so much further along, in development, this group appreciates our assistance because we can relate to them easily.
Dr. Newton, ah, so you do a little student teaching with this group?
S. Yes, but we don't do it anywhere else.
Dr. Newton, why not?
Why couldn't more advanced groups come to your library to assist you once in a while?
S. They don't because we are further along than the newer ones.
And, we don't infringe on them either. If I want to connect with someone, I do it outside the study center.
Dr. Newton, can you wander about anywhere as long as you don't bother other souls in their study areas?
S. Responds with some evasiveness. I like to stay around the vicinity of my temple, but I can reach out to anyone.
Dr. Newton, I get the impression that your soul energy is restricted to this spiritual space even though you can mentally reach out further.
S. I don't feel restricted. We have plenty of room to go about, but I'm not attracted to everyone.
The statement about non-restriction, cited by case 16, seems contrary to those boundaries of spiritual space seen by the last case. When I initially bring subjects into the spirit world, their visions are spontaneous, particularly as to spiritual order and their place in a community of soul life. While the average subject may talk about having private spaces, as far as living and working, none sees the spirit world as confining. Once their superconscious recall gets rolling, most people are able to tell me about having freedom of movement and going to open spaces where souls of many learning levels gather in a recreational atmosphere. In these communal areas, floating souls socially engage in many activities. Some are quite playful, as when I hear of older souls teasing the younger ones about what lies ahead for them. One subject put it this way, we play tricks on each other like a bunch of kids. During hide and seek, some of the younger ones get lost and then we help them find themselves. I am also told guests can appear in soul groups at times to entertain and tell stories, similar to the troubadours of the Middle Ages. Another subject mentioned that her group loved to see an odd-looking character known as Humor show up and make them all laugh with his antics. Frequently, people in hypnosis find it hard to clearly explain the strange meanings behind their intermingling as souls. One diversion I hear rather often is of souls forming a circle to more fully unify and project their thought energy. Always, a connection with a higher power is reported here. Some people have told me, thought rhythms are so harmonized they bring forth a form of singing. Gracefully subtle dancing can also take place when souls whirl around each other in a mixture of energy, blending and separating in exotic patterns of light and color. Physical things such as shrines, boats, animals, trees, or ocean beaches can be conjured up at the center of these dances as well. These images have special meaning to soul groups as planetary symbols which reinforce positive memories from former lives together. This sort of material replication apparently does not resent sadness by spirits who long to be in a physical state again, but are a joyful communion with historical events that helped shape their individual identities.
For me, these mythic expressions by souls are ceremonial in nature and yet they go far beyond basic ritual. Although certain places in the spirit world are described as having the same function by subjects in superconscious, their images in each of these regions can vary.